Thank you for joining us again for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a weekly call-in show geared towards the hobby side of all things television. Brought to you by Satellite Guys Radio. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Brian.
Good evening, Satellite Nation. I'm Michael Graves, K-E-4-E-S-T.
And I'm Brian Gould, Titanium Satellite. Welcome to Satellite Nation, everybody.
All right, folks, tonight we're going to be wrapping up, bringing to the second season of Satellite Nation tonight, so stay tuned for all that, and we'll, as the rest of the show goes on, we'll tell you how we'll go into season three. Dave Watts, Wally Hatt's over at Satellite Guys, and one that owns GotCBand.com will be joining us. He's been at the Satellite 2015 in Washington, D.C. today, and he's got a few interviews for us from the floor, and we'll be talking about some of those products.
Yeah, he's during today, he shipped over a couple of interviews and got them all edited together here, and we're just waiting for him to call in. So hopefully if he's listening, that might be him right there. Let's see. I want to give a special thanks to Scott Grakowski for calling in this evening. He's the owner of Satellite Guys Forum and runs Satellite Guys Radio. And he has some important information about Satellite Guys Radio. And we'll be talking about the recent announcement regarding Apple, their IPTV service, and the new additions to Dish's Sling Television. Got some new channels on coming or announced coming on.
Sounds good. All right, everybody, get ready to call in for the live show March 18th, 2015. You can call us at 1-877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. And if you are international caller or have unlimited calling plans, please call us at 347-327-9319. That's 347-327-9319.
Now, if you miss a Satellite Nation show, or if you miss us while we're gone on the hiatus, you can always find a link after each show on the Satellite Guys Radio Forum website at www.satelliteguys.us. Now, remember to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio. And if you're on Twitter, follow us at Sat Nat Radio. We want to hear from you and give us some feedback, some show suggestions, and we look forward to talking to you as we build up for next season.
Yeah, we want to know what you like about this season or didn't like, what you want to hear more of or less of. It's really what makes the show. If you're not there, we're not going to be here. So, also, a special thanks out, as always, to Scott from SatelliteGuys.us for his forum and use of Satellite Guys Radio. And to Dave at GotCBand.com for use of his IceCast audio server and putting us up on Galaxy 19KU. And also, if you need any parts or anything, or just want to browse around, take a moment to stop by some of our stores, like www.titaniumsatellite.com.
And then also your store, nc-electronics.com. Now, these sites help pay the bills and support Satellite Nation. So if you need anything or want to visit the forums or, check us out, please do visit these sites. Now, I think we're going to change the order on things here because Dave hasn't called in yet. So I think what we'll do is probably invite Scott to join us here on the show, and we're going to get into some subscription news this week. Scott, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well, Scott. How's the weather? Is spring hitting up in your Connecticut woods yet?
Well, the weather here it's been nice all week, but it's been cold the last 2 days. And very windy with the wind gusts up to about 60 miles an hour here. On Friday, the first day of spring, they are now telling us we're going to have 5 to 8 inches of snow. So I don't think spring is officially here yet.
Now, a lot of guys don't know this, but you do have a big C-band dish at your place. So Are you able to swing that around? You keeping it swept out, or is it just parked during this heavy snow?
It's moving back and forth. It is moving back and forth. And I used it last weekend. Haven't been home too much on the weekends, but did use it last weekend for some stuff. And it worked fine for me, so
perfect.
That's a good thing.
Well, very good. So Apple had some big news, and it kind of leads into, it seems like everybody's jumping on a bandwagon. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I think Apple tried to head off the news from Sony today. Sony announced its new PlayStation View service, which is a $50 a month service where you can use your PlayStation 3 or PlayStation 4 to watch approximately 50 channels for $50 a month. With their highest package being $79.99 a month. But Apple TV is looking kind of interesting because you can use your existing Apple TV and get access to a bunch of different channels, and they're looking at about $40 a month. So video to your home over the Internet, you know, Sling TV was the first one, but everybody else is coming hot and heavy with trying to get into the game.
Now, of course, Apple TV, their appliance, was always, and more expensive than most of the other devices. So they've also announced that there's going to be a price drop on the Apple TV device.
Down from $99 to $69. And that's to move more out. I have a feeling we're going to see a new Apple TV announced in June at WWDC, which is their big event they hold every year. And it's expected that this new Apple TV will be offering 4K movies from iTunes as well. So it's going to be the first consumer box that will really bring home 4K content as well.
Okay. Now, what? Any idea of the bandwidth that you're going to need to do something like that?
Well, it shouldn't really be that bad. If you have a 4K TV now, and you're like, I have a Samsung, so I can do 4K from a variety of different sources, including Netflix. And I believe Netflix is anywhere from 10 to 15 megabit down to get a decent 4K signal into the house.
Okay.
So it's not that bad, and the picture quality is very good.
Have you noticed a lot of buffering on the 4K any more than anything else?
No, it's pretty much instantaneous. You start it, and then about, you know, maybe 10 seconds later, you're watching TV. And then, like all other Netflix buffering, sometimes it starts off, you know, not in the highest quality, but pretty soon you're right where you're supposed to be.
Okay. Now, of course, one thing that makes the Apple package a little bit different is the inclusion of locals. Do you have any inside scoop on that, of how they're going to put that together? Is that going to be actual locals, or is it going to just be network content?
It's looking like network content, and actually it's appearing now that it's going to be the Big Four, with the exception being that to watch NBC on the Apple TV, you are still required to have a cable or satellite subscription in order to authenticate yourself to it. But other than that, all the rest of them will come with the Apple TV service.
And as you know, that's one of my big pet peeves about these operators requiring, you know, they're over the air for free, but then they require you to have a subscription service in order to watch their online material. Are they crazy?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Huh?
Yeah. It's like one of those things that if our congressmen and senators actually gave a damn, I'd probably talk to him about it.
Yeah, now the new Sony PlayStation View service that was announced today actually has locals in it for your local area. They launched today in New York, Philadelphia, and Chicago, and the locals available to you are the locals for that area. So it's more like having cable TV than having an Internet service in that regard.
But they only have it in a few select areas, right?
Correct. New York, Philadelphia, and Chicago, and then they're going to keep on expanding for bigger areas as they keep moving forward. Again, $50 a month is kind of high. If you're trying to cut the cable, it's, you know, you're going to be paying what you're paying before. So.
Right. Okay. Well, it looks like we just lost lost Michael, so I'm going to try reestablishing a feedback, a call back to him. Now, if the stations that they're going to be giving us are just the network feeds, that means that there's probably going to be no... Oh, there he is. Does that mean that there's going to be no streaming then, live stream?
I believe there will be a live stream. I don't really know how to answer that one since Apple's never actually officially announced anything yet.
Okay.
You know, it's just been rumors. They've been whenever Apple has a rumor they want to get in the street, they give it to the Wall Street Journal or New York Times, and they run with it.
And then they kind of butcher up the story and give half of the – and you're scratching your head going, well, I think I know what's going on here.
But I believe the reason they did that was to preempt the PlayStation announcement today from Sony.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was.
Well, what I find very interesting about that is it just doesn't seem like I mean, how many people have an Xbox sitting in their home? It just seems like it's, you know, being platform specific just doesn't seem to be a big announcement to me, but maybe that's because I'm not a big Xbox gamer.
Well, it's not an Xbox. It's on PlayStation.
I'm sorry, PlayStation.
But they announced that they would have iOS apps available later on in this year so you could watch on your iPhone or your iPad. But nothing about Android devices or anything else like that have been announced yet. You know, the beautiful thing about Dish Network Sling TV, which we'll get into a little later on, is that it works on Roku, you know, your phones, Android phones, whatever. The only thing it doesn't work on, surprisingly, is Apple TVs. And that's not really a big surprise considering Apple's launched their own service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting that a lot of people seem to be jumping out to make announcements right now, but they don't seem to have the content or yet. And it seems like they all want to make an announcement that they have it coming.
Sling TV has been doing well for itself. You know, they broke over 100,000 users, was announced recently, and they keep adding more and more channels. And out of all the announcements we've seen so far from all the companies, Sling TV still holds the golden goose, which is ESPN, the channel most people want.
Right. Yep. Well, you know, it kind of interesting, you know, going back to last week's news about the HBO exclusive initial rollout. Do you think that's going to give a lot of traction to Apple? Do you think that is a low hanging apple to put HBO out there? Is that really something that you think are going to entice people over to that platform?
No. And the only reason I say that is, number one, it's not an Apple exclusive. Apple has an exclusive to it for 3 months.
Right.
And then it'll be on the Roku, be built into all the different devices, it'll be on your Xbox, it'll be in all this other stuff. I think they used it as an advertising vehicle, number one, to get out there because it was cheap advertising. They go on stage with Tim Cook and boom, we have HBO Now.
Right.
You know, they didn't have to spend anything for it. You know, and the other interesting thing that we're starting to hear at the grapevine is you won't be able to purchase HBO Now. You'll have to go through a cable company or satellite provider to get a subscription. HBO will not be the HBO Now on your Apple TV and enter in the credit card number. It's not going to be that way, which is, you know, odd and weird at the same time.
Yeah, very much. Hey, I'm going to play the Satellite Nation call in here, so if you're listening, give us a call.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
So if you're listening on March 18 and you want to give a call and participate in our little discussions here, give us a ring, 877-728-4897 or 347-327-9319. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see either HBO or ESPN as anything that's going to, you know, be a big deal breaker for me. If it's kind of odd, I'm really looking forward to getting local reception, just because I am challenged to get over the air, and it seems like it's something that should be available anywhere and added into any package. And yeah, I found it very interesting. Was it NBC announcing that they're going to be giving their locals a buck of that subscription fee if they participate in the program?
I don't know who that was.
Yeah, it was just announced a day or so ago that that they were going to be giving all their affiliates, if they decide to partner up with them to become part of the streaming service, that they would be passing a buck on to them. So that would be a real nice thing for an affiliate to get a collect on the bigger markets, for sure.
It wouldn't be, for sure. Just trying to research that now. I've got so much going on my Twitter feed here lately, I'm going to have to make it into a folder or something.
Well, Scott, are we going to see an iWatch on your arm soon? Hello, Scott.
You know, say that the one, you know, of course, I don't have one or anything. I don't even have iPhone equipment, but it goes for Android, too. With all these things they say, one of them is people don't realize it until they get it, that they have Bluetooth on all the time. Some phones really, it really brings the battery down fast on Bluetooth. Some phones, but if that's transmitting all the time for to your watch, you know, it really kills your battery a lot faster.
Yeah, I think I'm with Dave on this one, that, you know, the iWatch, if it had some independence from the phone, I think that would be a real good thing. But, you know, its dependence on having a phone in your other pocket, you know, it seems like it would be a great standalone Wi-Fi device. Any thoughts on that, Scott?
And I'm an Apple fan.
There we go. We have Scott back now. Sorry, we missed your comment there, Scott.
For me, I can't see buying an Apple Watch at this time, and I'm an Apple fan. The only thing that I wish my watch would have now, and I have a Pebble watch, is the ability to make and receive phone calls on it. But other than that, there is nothing compelling about a watch where you can, you know, pull up these little apps that give you two lines of information when you have a phone in your pocket, which can give you a full screen of stuff.
Right.
And you know, the pricing of this stuff is just out of this world for something that's going to be obsolete within a year, and you're going to want to buy Model 2.
Yeah. I mean, a Rolex is going to look good on your wrist whenever you put it on.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
There's going to be a certain ugly time where that iWatch is going to be uncool, and your kids will be embarrassed if you put it on your wrist for probably about 20 years. And then by then the technology won't work and the battery. Oh, what are they going to do about batteries on that? Will that be user replaceable?
No, it's Apple.
Yeah, I don't know. My stock in Apple climbed back up slowly out of its deathbed this week, and it certainly wasn't because of the iWatch announcement. iWatch brought it down. It's a speculation of Apple's IP service, and it brought stock up, what, about $2 today? So that's good.
The Apple Watch announcement was actually good for the Pebble Watch. Pebble Watch is doing their Kickstarter program, so you can get the Talk Steel or Pebble Talk, which is the new one with color on it. And right before the announcement, their Kickstarter died. They were getting, you know, pretty good, and then it died, and everybody wanted to see what the Apple announcement was.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as everybody saw what the Apple announcement was, it just took off again. I mean, it was doing a couple $1,000 an hour. They wanted to raise $500,000 in a month through their Kickstarter program.
Uh-huh.
As of last check yesterday, they were at $19 million on their Kickstarter project.
And I didn't notice, but what is the Pebble, what's the retail going to be on that after Kickstarter?
The Pebble Watch will be $129.
Yeah.
And the Pebble Steel will be $249, but they've got one in rose gold color with the red strap, and it looks identical to the Apple Watch.
For $10,000?
$17,000. $17,000 for the rose gold one.
All right. Hey, we have a caller. Welcome. Area code 207. Welcome to Satellite Nation. You're on.
Yeah. Good evening. This is Dick up in the Great White North again from Maine. A couple of things. Ideas for next year's shows that I'd be interested in are the software-defined radio, how that might be rolled into some type of use with FTA. Also, the outer net, interested in that. I did get it on the 97 thing, but it, to me, it, you know, they just had that one title page up there, so to speak, real low res. I wonder if they couldn't put something up with a little more detail on it.
Well, actually, you're and just, then, you're, yeah, on that outer net, you're just looking at something that I don't even know why they're paying for it to be there. Because there's going to be no visual information, and that's actually kind of a waste of their resources, in my opinion. But yeah, if you actually if you tune into that transponder and those PIDs with the Raspberry with the like a USB tuner attached to it, you'll actually see a wealth of library that could be downloaded to your hard drive. So that information's been up there for how long, Michael? Probably about 4 or 5 months now?
September. In September, so yeah. Quite a while now.
Yeah, longer than they have.
Yeah, it struck me, though, that if they're paying to put up some amount of video, if they could, they could probably do themselves a world of improvement if they could put up some additional short announcements or, you know, other teasers that would get more interest going for them.
Yeah,
you know,
like how to buy the equipment.
An opportunity. Yeah, and or you know, at least give you short quips of what's out there for news or some of their highlights. You know,
definitely. I mean,
entice people to get into it more.
Yeah, and I'm curious why they even have a video placard up there other than to, you know, something with a FTA receiver could say, oh, I've heard of OuterNet. Other than that, I can't think of any reason why they're paying for the extra bandwidth. It seems like a total waste to me.
Yeah, well, that was what I thought, too. I mean, if they're going to do a little bit of video, they could probably do a lot, do something that would get themselves a lot more public interest.
Definitely.
Okay. The other item that this different topic is these different streaming services. You know, I've got two different setups for FTA. One down here in southern Maine, where we actually have cable, but up north we're totally starved. I mean, there's virtually nothing. I think we have a DSL that might get us a meg or two if we're lucky. But what type of service rate minimums are we looking at for these new streaming services? And with that, I'll leave you.
With the answer to that one, for as far as on the Dish side or the Sling TV side, they recommend about 3 meg down for you know, decent picture. Of course, It adjusts itself, so that way if you have lower bandwidth, you'll see a picture and it'll be optimized for whatever your connection you have.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, we're that's what got me into the FTA business here in the last couple year or two was because down East Maine is really in dire straits. At least when you get inland away from the coast, where all the money is on the coast. But back in the woods, there isn't much. Very poor service, and that's where I am up there, and. The FTA has been a big, more than one channel out of Bangor. You know?
Yeah.
Of course, all my dishes are buried right now in so much snow it doesn't matter. But
well, right. I think, do you watch the PBS channels or anything? Because I had noticed that they're mulling around saving some money by cutting the PBS feeds in the future.
I hope they don't do that because that's one of my wife's favorite channels is the LPB out of Louisiana. So,
yeah,
hope they don't do that.
Yeah, and I think the LPB, you know, they're a little bit different because they're just using it for their regional distribution. But the national feeds just been hearing the rumblings about, you know, how they plan to save money. And, of course, it's been pointed out that we're going to have cooperation of Congress to change it. So who knows? Might never change.
Yeah, well, I've got too many trees up there also. I can't see down to that satellite.
Oh, okay.
I can only see a very small portion of the arc. But.
Well, it sounds beautiful, so I don't feel too sorry for you. Well, very good.
I'm all done. Good evening.
All right, Dick. Well, thanks for calling in, and we'll definitely be having some more stuff about SDR on. I know Mario has been keeping in touch with us, and definitely there's some – I'm getting another dongle in from Europe that has a wider wider frequency. I think it has about a 7-meg swath where the SDR dongles that we're playing with right now are based on the DVB-T, which is 3 meg. And so I think with the wider bandwidth, if we can start playing around with some different configs, we might actually have enough that we can not only do ATSC, but, you know, we could actually have a chance at watching some FTA stuff with video through these little dongles, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. I did the 2 megahertz or 3 megahertz one, but got to work with that some more.
Yep.
Okay, well, good evening. Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling, Dick. You have a great one now. Thanks for calling.
Yes, good night.
How about it?
Well, Brian, there was a lot of news this week out of Sling TV.
Talk to us.
They threw three things out there. Three big things this week about Sling TV. First one being that they're finally available on the Xbox One platform. And what makes it interesting is if you already have an Xbox One and sign up through the Xbox One, you get a free month of service to try it out.
Hmm.
If you buy a new Xbox One, you didn't have an Xbox One before, and buy an Xbox One, you get 6 months free service.
Nice.
Wow.
So that is, let's see, that's a $20 value right now. That would be on the basic Sling only, not the additions, right?
That's correct.
Now,
and
looks like they're doing some juggling. They're doing some juggling now between the packages on Sling. I tried making sense of that. Maybe you could fill us in on that.
Well, yeah, they changed some of their packages around and now have two new packages. Each one priced at $5 a month. The first one called Lifestyle Extra, which includes True TV, Cooking Channel, DIY, Women's Entertainment Television, FYI, Lifetime Movie Network coming soon. The interesting part about that is it's, you know, March Madness. So now people who have Sling TV can watch the March Madness games via Sling TV and ESPN and Turner and all the other channels that they have there. In those packages.
Great timing.
The other new package is called World News Extra and features channels such as Bloomberg TV, Headline News, Euro News. That's probably my favorite news channel there.
Yep.
Euro News. You have France 24 and News 18 and Russia Today. These two new add-on packs were originally offered as the News and Info Extra Pack, which previously offered Cooking Channel, DIY, Bloomberg TV, and HLN, Headline News. However, now they got split apart, so now they have a Lifestyle Extra and a World News Extra, so that way you didn't have to get all the news channels if you wanted the, you know, Women's Entertainment Television or Lifetime Movie Network.
Wow. Well, it seems like they're figuring out a good bundle for you to build off of that 20 and get up to 30 pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, even the 20 keeps getting into a better value. They announced this week that by the end of this month, and then the end of this month is only next week.
Right.
You know, the A&E channels will be coming to Sling TV and be in the base package. And that includes A&E, History, and H2. So those four channels will be added to the base package. That's
$20 after
package.
What was it? What was it after H2? Your phone took a dive there for a sec.
It's Lifetime.
Okay.
The other one's Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great, that $20 package is becoming an excellent value.
Definitely. Definitely.
It sure is.
All right, so Sling TV continues to grow. Now, between those three packages, did they give a channel count there? I'm not expecting you to count them out right now, but that sounds like a heck of a lot of channels.
Yeah, I don't have a channel count in front of me. And for some reason, they don't have a list showing you everything they have, which is kind of unfortunate because it probably entice a lot of people to subscribe to it.
Yeah, definitely.
The biggest channels they're missing now are the NBC Universal Mux, which includes USA Network, Sci-Fi, and Discovery.
Do you expect that those will come along, or do you think that was all...
No, I think those are going to be exclusive to Sony.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Sony View and whatever Apple rolls out with.
Boy, it's a beta VHS all over again, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should explain that statement. There might be some people listening out there that have no clue what...
How about HD DVD Blu-ray? A little newer.
Well, boy, we lost Michael again. I'm going to try ringing him up here again. And we'll see if...
Yeah, I think Blog Talk's having some trouble tonight because I was on before and it said, thank you for calling. It's not hung up on me.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Goodbye. Well, I think what we'll do here is we're going to play a couple of these interviews that Dave did from Satellite 2015. Dave Wallace, he is... Wally Heights and the owner of Scott C-Band. He was up at the Satellite 2015 in Washington, D.C. The first one that we have here is he talked to someone over at, let's see, her name is Salit. She's with a, boy, how do you pronounce that? AYECKA.com. Now they're working with Eutelsat to provide a two-way interactive data service. So this is a quick one. I'll play it, and then we'll talk about it afterwards here.
Hey, I'm here with Salit from the Smart LNB. So can you tell us about the Smart LNB?
Of course. The Smart LNB is a new technology for interactive TV. Actually, we replaced the LNB that is used for DTH services, and we placed the Smart LNB in order to allow a return channel for the interactive services. Our technology allows to use the receive-only antenna for transmission either in Ka-band or Ku-band. We have two models. One is transmission in Ka-band, and one is transmission in Ku-band. The reception allows receiving the legacy DTH services in Ku-band. And also we have an LNB for the new services, the IP services, which can be streaming of video services over IP or any other IP data that is required for the new services. The installation is straightforward. You just need to replace the LNB. We use the existing infrastructure and the RG6 cable that goes into the house. In the house, we have a small box that is called the indoor unit, which is actually a port extender that connects to the set-top box and to your home router and brings you the data inside. And the idea is to have it very low cost. Due to the KA satellites, it could be very low cost of service as well and allow to have the new interactive services that are required also over satellite for the second screen, DRM, VOD services, voting in reality, getting statistics in sports games,
oh, very
and
nice.
So on. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so basically what it is, it's an LNB, or LNB, it goes down to this box, it goes into the box RG6, and then RG6 out from the box to your current satellite receiver, and then it's got an Ethernet out of the box that goes to your network router.
Exactly.
And so you don't have to do anything except replace the LNB, use the same dish, and
just replace the LNB.
Yeah, and so
with a smart LNB.
Eventually, it's going to get down to about $50, I think, right?
That's the idea. In large quantities, we're talking when we get to the millions.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is mostly designed for the DTH provider and not for, like, end users to buy them, right?
It will be installed in the end user's premises eventually.
Okay, okay. But, like, you'll be selling to, like, the providers,
yes,
not the end users.
Yes, this is true.
Okay, very cool. Well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was interesting because we've been talking on the forums recently about an IP built receiver built into an LNB to provide data into your network. And it seems like what they're developing here with Eutelsat is kind of a step in that direction. And it's the only thing that kind of makes me wonder is, a lot of these dishes are not formed very well, and if you're going to put a transmitter on a dish that's only receive only, there's going to have to be some sort of qualification or testing that has to be done, because I could just see signals flying all over space if I just handed Grandpa an LNB and told him to go home and put it on put it on his system.
Yeah, I was kind of confused about what it actually did and what services it interfaced with. And I was kind of missing from Dave's interview there. I don't know. I guess I'd have to see it in person to really understand what it does. But to me, it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, well, if you guys want to check it out, go over to www.ayecka.com. And under the products tab, you'll see LNB, IP, LNBF listed, and it gives some specifications. And it looks like it's just going to be a way of getting IP data out to customers' homes, and then also a return path, because it's going to have a transmitter in it, a return path to have interactive services. So quite an interesting technology, but I'm just not really sure. You know, I just think a lot of the people that come through the forums, you know, if I handed them a transmitter and just told them to put them on the dish, I'm kind of wondering at what kind of interference would end up in the sky there if we let everybody be Captain Midnight.
I know.
You like me, Brian, you go to a lot of these shows, and a lot of what you see on the show floor, you never actually see released. They come out and they try showing you these things, but never release them, just because there's not enough interest, or because it's just an idea or a concept that they're trying to prove that may or may not work.
Kind of like going to the Detroit Auto Show.
Kind of like going to CES. CES, they estimate that 65% of the stuff you see on the show floor will never be released.
Thank goodness.
That's a good number.
All right. Hey, do you guys want to talk about this anymore, or should we move on to the new applied instruments?
Let's move on to that.
I'm really interested in hearing about the new applied instruments meter.
Okay, well, a little background on the applied instruments. It's no longer a satellite meter. They're calling it a test instrument, and this is not your daddy's satellite meter. It's called the XR-3, and Dave talked to Scott Belcher with www.appliedin.com. That's Applied Instruments, and here we go with the interview.
Well, this is David. I'm here with Scott from Applied Instruments, and we're looking at the new XR-3 meter. Can you tell us a little bit about it, Scott?
Sure. It's a brand new design for us. It's a modular concept. So depending on the applications of the user, they can purchase the modules that apply to their applications, and then as their business grows or changes or signal types change in the future, then definitely they can just add another module as opposed to having to buy a whole new meter. So presently at the time of launch, we have three modules available. One is designed for cable and off-air testing, both analog and digital QAM and digital APS-B, the ATSC off-air. And then we have another module for DBS satellite, such as Dish Network and DirecTV, Shaw Direct, and Bell TV. And then the third module is for VSAT and also commercial linear C and KU. So really designed for VSAT or broadcast TVRO.
Gotcha. And so the Turbo S2 module would be just like the Turbo S2 meter then inside there?
That's correct. So it would have the same measurement capabilities as our AI Turbo S2 meter, but the advantages of this is you get a higher definition, higher resolution color display, and the modular flexibility to either add a module or as signal types change down the road to replace your module.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me about the over-the-air module. And so it will do over-the-air and it will do like QAM for cable?
That's correct, yeah. The over-the-air, we have some really great features. I mean, it's easy to see the MER and your DBMV level and your signal quality. But what's really neat is that you can see up to 5 of your favorite channels on the screen at once. A lot of times one of the challenges when you're aiming an off-air antenna, as you're probably familiar with, is you have transmitting towers on opposite sides of your location. And so you can see the effect of your antenna alignment to kind of strike a compromise, if you will. So you might not have one channel all the way maximized, but you have to compromise the position of the antenna to be able to get all of your desired channels. So you can see those instantaneously as you move the antenna around, seeing up to 5 channels at once. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So if someone wanted to get into this with just one module, I saw on your website, so you sell the base unit with no modules, and I think was that $550?
I don't even recall what the base unit that... Yeah, okay, $545 or $550, but I don't think anyone will really be purchasing
the same old
base. But the base with a single satellite module is $895.
Okay.
And then the base with the cable or off-air module is $995. And then you add additional modules. The standalone satellite module, I believe, is about $350. And then the standalone cable and off-air module is $450.
Okay, well, that's really cool that you guys came out with the off-air, because I think a lot of people are cord-cutting now, and for installers to go out and do installation of antennas would really help them out with a nice meter.
Well, yeah, we think it'll be a great help for them. I mean, as there always has been, there's multiple ways to see your signal while you're aligning either a satellite dish or an off-air antenna. You know, you can always use the walkie-talkie or phone way while someone's looking on a TV screen or carrying receivers. But our bread and butter is really designing a meter that's for mainly commercial technicians, but obviously some hardcore hobbyists as well, that will allow them to do their job quicker and easier. And
yeah,
we want accurate measurements as well, so all of our signal levels are calibrated and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got the S2 Turbo, and it's the best meter I've ever had. Well, let me ask you this. What about the – you could still go outside with this in light rain without a problem?
It is, you know, in light sprinkling rain, you're not – I've used them a lot. You're not going to hurt anything. But in a regular steady rain – or a downpour, anything beyond a sprinkle, we'd recommend still protecting the meter with something. I mean, it is still a piece of test gear,
mm-hmm.
and it's not waterproof, although you'll notice many features that we've designed to prevent as much moisture as possible from getting in. It's still not specified per se to be waterproof, so we would recommend that folks definitely not take it in downpour rain and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
without some kind of cover.
Gotcha. Well, the biggest difference I noticed between the XR3 and the Turbo S2 is the screen resolution. I mean, it's totally different. I mean, it's an LCD screen in there, and you can look at the text, and it looks way different. It looks better, I think. Quite a bit better.
Thanks. Yeah, we really did a lot of research, and we tested the display in lots of varied conditions, from cold temperatures to hot temperatures to out in the bright sunlight and indoors, and we really like the display that we ended up choosing and settled on. We think the users are going to like it too.
Yeah, absolutely. So now the plastic over the screen looks to be a little bit harder than on the old models.
Definitely. The cover on the overlay over the screen on our previous generation of meters, the BSAT 7850 and the AI Turbo S2 and the Super Buddy meters, were kind of a flimsy, thick film, if you will, and they were durable as long as you're not dropping a screwdriver on it. But if you did accidentally drop a screwdriver on it from a few feet in the air, you might pierce or puncture that overlay, and we can repair those pretty inexpensively. So I mean, it's not an end of life situation, but this will allow a technician, if he accidentally drops a screwdriver on it, it shouldn't break this hard cover at all. So it's designed to be more durable. Yes, it might lead to a little scratch on it, but you can also use little screen film protectors like you'd use on a cell phone on top of our new hard stiff display cover there, and that should just prevent the minor scratches, but yet it's more durable from an impact standpoint.
Very nice. Well, I appreciate your time today, Scott, and any Satellite Guy members out there that want to get the best meter, check out the XR3.
Thanks, Dave.
And he is not kidding. Applied Instruments, definitely the best meters I've ever owned.
Yes, yeah, been here. Got the Turbo S2 and beautiful meter, and the Haywood family makes some great meters, and they've been doing that for, I think, since the 50s.
That's all they do. So to kind of break it down, this is a base block that you add tuner modules to, and essentially it comes in two and three configurations. You have one that does your North American DBS broadcast TVRO that has like the turbo for dish network. And that covers frequency range from 250 to 2150. Do you have the next one in front of you there, Michael, for the VSAT version?
VSAT version is the international one.
Right.
For ACM and the S2.
Right. So the ACM, is, of course, is very important when you're working with VSAT. That's when you're not working with a constant coded modulation. This is an adjustable coding, so and S2. So there is a definite difference, and they can kind of stylize it, but notice the frequency difference on the, the VSAT version. It's from 900 to 2150. And then the third one, which I am really interested in. This,
really,
you know, there are no over-the-air good meters out there, and this one,
sure?
This one will do J.83B. It will do VHF, UHF, all the way from 5 to 1,000 meg. Now, the base model, if you start out with the satellite model, it's $895 for the unit and one of the tuners, or if you want to do the off-air, it's $995. And then the modules are either $350 each or $450 for the off-air. So, I mean, it's a lot of money, but if this is what you do for your business or if you want the best thing out there, I don't think you can beat Applied Instruments. If I can apply my experience with their past products, this is going to be the winner, hands down.
Yeah, this is what you want if you did everything for a living.
They're over-the-air. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Do you think they're over-the-air tuner? Is using a SDR to tune in five different channels at one time?
I mean, I don't think it's SDR, but it's definitely a broad tuner, and it has to be because, I mean, off-air is, what, almost 1,000 meg wide. And so, you know, in order to pull five frequencies out of there, it has to be a very wide tuner. But, you know, we've seen this on their past products, you know, on their spectrum analyzers. So this is something they definitely have experience with, but we've just never seen simultaneous monitoring of five different muxes at one time.
And the only thing that's missing is if their S2 cartridge would actually display a satellite channel for you, act as the satellite tuner. So that way you can see what you're tuned to. That would be cats meow on top of everything.
Yeah, I personally, I I really don't care to see. I look at the meters and I drool over the signal to noise ratios and the and the BERs and everything. So, yeah, I agree. It is nice to see and verify. But you know, I could see how this would work against you. For example, if you were working with the turbo model, you know, you wouldn't see hardly any channels that were in the clear, and so. You know, knowing what was going to present a picture and what isn't going to present a video might cause a lot of support issues.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Well, there is one more interview, but I don't think we're going to have time to run that one. It was with Squire Tech Solutions. We'll put a link to it up on Satellite Guys Michael, if you can go ahead and maybe put a link to this interview if people want to play it back. It was by Squire Tech Solutions on a trailer that they can roll in to provide data for a regional area. So it has a downlink. It has, you know, a local terrestrial transmitter, whatever you need to do with it, racks, air-conditioned. But the neat thing is this is towed behind a pickup, not a semi-rig like all the others we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
So, very cool.
Yeah, I'll put a link to that up in the audio file up, too.
Now, Scott, let's get to Satellite Guys Radio. What can you tell us about Satellite Guys Radio, and what's the future of Satellite Nation Radio?
Well, this one's a hard one for me because Satellite Guys Radio has been a labor of love, and... it's been fun playing the role of DJ and for me and for a bunch of Satellite Guys members. And, you know, looking at the numbers that we've been getting, and to be perfectly honest with people out there, we've had some great sponsors. We've had Dave with Got C-Band. Of course, we have Brian from Titanium Satellite who's been supporting us all along. But our main bread and butter was from another company that provides us all the syndicated. And to be perfectly honest, we haven't got paid a cent from this company since we started. And because of that, we cannot afford to continue going forward, especially considering the royalty fees for playing the music keep going up and up. And what we decided to do is on the end of the month to cease operation on Satellite Guys Radio. On April 1st, April Fool's Day, but it's not an April Fool's joke, unfortunately, it'll be the last hurrah, and all the DJs are invited to come back and do a show and have a good time with it to send Satellite Guys Radio off. Now, Satellite Nation, the show we're listening to right now, will continue on, and there still will be a Satellite Guys Radio. Just without the music going 24 hours a day. And the Satellite Guys website, so that Satellite Nation will become the crown jewel of Satellite Guys. This means that on every page, people will have an opportunity to click and listen to the latest Satellite Nation show from no matter what page they're on. And it will bring more people to the show, hopefully. Now, I know Dave has us going on Galaxy 19, playing up there now. And as long as Dave has the Galaxy 19 service available, we will continue feeding him a music feed, so that way he has something up there. And it will also be automatically switched so that when we have a live Satellite Nation program, that it will air live on the satellite. And hard thing to do because I've invested a lot of money in the automation software, the two computers that actually run it, not to mention all the money we spent on music for the thing, and, you know, all bumpers and spots and things like that. So not a hard, not an easy decision for me to do this, but looking at the financials is the right thing for us to do right now.
Right. Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. When you sent out this announcement to us, I'm very sad. I've really enjoyed Satellite Guys Radio, listening to it pretty much at least daily, And it's just really been a great thing. All the DJs from Satellite Guys that have participated along with you there, Scott, that have really just made it a wonderful station. But I certainly understand if the thing that was going to bring in the money and pay for it, if they're not coming through on their end of the deal, you don't need to be bleeding money just over a labor of love. And I certainly understand that. You must be scraping the barrel if Satellite Nation is going to be your crown jewel. But
well, Satellite Nation, people like it, you know? It's just good.
I'm,
there's no royalties on it.
I'm only joking. Well, we'll start sending you an invoice for the show. But no. Hey, we do have a caller from area code 434. Area code 434. Go ahead. You're on Satellite Nation.
Man, I'm kind of sad. I don't know if I can follow that announcement. Hey, Michael, it's Fred. How are you doing?
Good. Hello, Fred.
Can you hear me?
Well,
hey, I was panicking before you went on the show there. You copied over all the kernel instructions there that with the TBS driver instructions, but you got it all straight. Yep. How are you doing?
Yeah. I think it's all
well, very, very good, Fred. When we come back next season, would you join us to talk about the PI project, the Raspberry Pi project, and how we're...
Yes, I definitely will. I know you're about out of time.
Perfect.
And, my wife made me call. I'm too scared. She made me do it.
Well, thanks for calling in, Fred, and we are going to have to put a wrap on this show here, but please do promise we don't bite. We're kind of mean sometimes, but we don't bite. But
all right, Michael, get back to work after the show. I'm messed up on that page with the instructions. So I'll talk to you soon.
Get back on the project.
Well, I just want to publicly thank Fred for all the input. He's Fred555 on Satellite Guys. He is doing a lot of coding and a lot of building and compiling on the
Raspberry.
Yeah, and a lot of testing on the Raspberry Pi to make an open source satellite receiver and hopefully some other things in the future. And so thank you so much, Fred, for what you're contributing.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Keep up the great work there on the show, and I'll call in another day.
Excellent. Okay. Well, that wraps up another show and a season. We just want to thank everybody for listening to Satellite Nation. And until next season, good night, Satellite Nation.
Good night, everybody.
Tuned in tonight. Join Satellite Guys Michael and Brian next Wednesday for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. And don't forget to like our page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio. Until next week, good night.